Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We praise God for being here on today in Jesus' name. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name. We praise God for being here on another wonderful, beautiful Saturday, wherever you're listening to me at, around the world, in various countries. In Jesus' name, we thank God for each and every single listener in Jesus' name. Amen. And we thank God. We especially thank God for being in the land of the living on today in Jesus' name. And just like I say at every show, in Jesus' name, we have the right to give God praise in Jesus' name. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice. My voice means nothing without God, amen, nothing without the name of Jesus, amen. But if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed in Jesus' name because you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God some praise on today in Jesus' name, amen. We praise God especially for being in the land of the living because this is New Year's Eve, amen, the last day of 2022, amen. And in the middle of this topic today, because we are doing a two-part, we're finishing up what we talked about last week. We started the year on this show. We started the year talking about love. And we're going to end the year talking about love today. We're talking about true love. This is part two of true love, the unconditional love of God. Amen. But I want to say before we get started, first I want to say thank you to all of our listeners that listen to this show and various shows that we have on the Spirit Alive Network. On behalf of the Spirit Alive Network, I want to say thank you to each and every listener, each and every show, each and every host in Jesus' name throughout this year. I believe that the Spirit Alive Network has been a blessing to people's souls in Jesus' name. We thank God for the Spirit Alive Network and Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we're getting ready to end the year in love. Amen. I want to jump into this talking about true love. Now, I want to give you a little recap about what we talked about on last week. We talked about what true love was, what the unconditional love of God is, how God's love teaches us to love people. We also talked about what true love really is and what true love is not. What is what unconditional love is and what unconditional love is. We said that unconditional love is not sometimes. 1 minute you love a person and the next minute you don't. when we love people, we love them unconditionally. Unconditional means that I can love you even though you don't love back. I can love you even though you're not so lovable. I can love you even though a person is going through pain. Amen. This is the unconditional love. We also talked about the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. When he showed his unconditional love, when he talked about saving the world, saving our life through his death. Amen. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he showed the unconditional love toward us. Now, I understand that we just celebrated Christmas. And Christmas is a holiday where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. There is, or whatever you want to call it, is the day that we celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. These two go hand in hand. Why? Because the birth of Jesus Christ was the entryway to our escape route from sin. His death was our exit plan out of sin. It led us to the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell. When he brought forth, he said in his word that when he departs, he would not leave us comfortless. The comforter, which is what? The Holy Ghost. Amen. He would help us go through to be able to fight off sin, to be able to fight off the works of the devil. This is his unconditional love toward us, his true love toward us. The one person that showed true love, the first person, the first ever person to show true love unto mankind was Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, he came into the world, and yes, he came and he healed, he ministered, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he loved people, he ministered, but his main thing was to come into the world to die for the sins of mankind. This was his ultimate true show of love. This was his main goal. This is why he came into the earth. Amen. But we talked about Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And we looked at how Jesus was to come into the world and why Jesus came into the world. And we all know why, because of his death. His sole purpose was to die. And we looked at John 3:16, which backed up Matthew 1 and 21 through Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. John 3:16 backs up that verse with, "For God so loved the world that he gave his what? His only begotten son, that through him," amen, "whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." Amen. This was the true love that God showed. This is his unconditional love toward us. And we also talked about God's love will teach us how to love people. Now, we had various scriptures that we looked at, most of them being in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12, John chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. And then we looked in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And in John chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, it talked to us about bringing forth fruit. What is that fruit? It is showing off the Spirit of God, showing off not ourself, but giving off the Spirit of God, which the world needs. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and how we talked about how we, in the natural, we have different fruits like apples and oranges and bananas. And we said that the banana, if we could use a banana, bananas have potassium in them. Oranges have vitamin C in them. And these are, it's not necessarily the orange or that apple, but it is the potassium and the vitamin C that our body needs. And in the Spirit, it said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the things that the world needs. Out of the fruit of the Spirit is the nutrient that the world needs. And if we are living, if we are bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, if we are showing off God's Spirit unto a dark world, they are getting the nutrient. The world is getting the nutrients of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. And this is all found in John chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, and in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. And we looked at the different types of love, and this is where we stopped at last week. And I want to continue this, the different types of love. There are different types of love. We talked about the first one, and we're going to go back through them on today. The first type of love that we talked about, and we're going to go back through it for those that didn't get all of it. We talked about there are seven types of love, but we're going to go over four of them today. We're going to go over Eros love, Philia love, storge love, and Agape love. These four different types of love deal with family and godly love. These four different types of love are all wrapped up in the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, or the unconditional love of God. These four different types of love are, if you are in Christ, if you are not in Christ, you can't show them the way, the true way that they should be shown. But with God's Spirit on the inside of a person, we can show all four types of love the correct way. Amen. And I want to go back to John chapter, First John chapter 4. I want to go there. I want to start there. Let's go to First John. First John chapter 4, and I'm in my Bible, and I'm I turn right to it. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse number 7. Because I want to show you again what love is. What love is. Just to show you that you cannot love without God. You can't love without God. You can't truly love without God. Now, you can love somebody, but you can't love the way that you should love without God. And this, and these verses will show us why we can't. Amen. Let's start at verse number 7 in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. It reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Verse number 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." And I want you to get the end of this verse in verse number 8. "For God is love." I want to read verse 8 again. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Amen. And not only does he say this once, but he says it more than once. He says this more than once. He says it in verse number 7, and then he turns around and says it in verse number 16 of 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." What does that mean? We dwelleth in him, and he dwelleth in us. The Bible lets us know. This shows us in verse number 16 that we in him and us. What does that mean? His spirit dwells on the inside of us. That's why in verse number 7 that a lot of people say that they know God. A lot of people say, "Oh, I know Jesus. I know him." You know of him, but do you really know him? And the only way to know God is to have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And this is the only true way to love people. This is the only true way to love God. Because we got to love God first. When he said love one another, we can only truly love one another through the love of God. The love of God can teach you how to love people. The love of God can teach you how to love your husband. The love of God can teach you how to love your wife. And we have scripture to back this up. The love of God can teach you how to love your friends. The love of God can teach you how to love your family. Amen? And we have scriptures to back this up. This is why all these four types of love go into the unconditional love of God, because God is love. Now, we're going to talk about Eros love. Eros love is a romantic love. And when you say romantic love, all of you know that when you talk about romantic love, you know it's a love between a husband and a wife. I'm not going to say, and it's a love between a man and a woman. Now, I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. This is, when you talk about Eros love, this is not a love between a man and a man. This is not a love between a woman and a woman. Anytime you have the, I know that the world says the same-sex marriages and all this stuff is okay, but it's not. That is lust. That is not love. And that is not a part of the love of God. Now, what do you mean by that? I thought you might say, well, I thought God said love everybody. God did say love everybody. But that is pertaining to lust. Lust pertains to sin. It does. And we as children of God are not to indulge ourselves in what? Sin. Any type of sin, for that matter. If you love sin, you do not love God. Just saying. And I don't apologize when I say it. It's in the Bible. Amen. So when we look at true love, between when we look at Eros love, this is a love between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. And I'm going to go here too. This is not a love between a boyfriend and girlfriend. What do you mean this is not a love between a boyfriend and a girlfriend? I thought you said that this is between a husband and a wife. Let me tell you something. There should be no chambering. If you are, there are three things. A love between, or a so-called love between a man and a man is lust, as we said. A love between a woman and a woman is lust. And if you are living together, and this is what I'm talking about is a man and a woman living together, unmarried. And you're sharing romantic or Eros love together, and you two are not married. That is also a sin. That love should not be shared until you are married. Now, you can have an attraction for one another. That is all right. But when it turns into lust, what I mean by an attraction, I don't mean you lusting after them. Oh, man. Look at that girl's shape. Look at that man's upper region and all this stuff. No. You can court each other. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. There's nothing wrong with getting to know each other. There's nothing wrong with that. That builds that love towards marriage, because you have to have time to get to know a person. Now, I'm not talking about that. Amen. But what I'm talking about is that all y'all talking about is sex and all of this other stuff that y'all don't need to be talking about until y'all are married. Because let me tell you, I went to a doctor's appointment this past week just to do a checkup. And one of the nurses that came in to, deal with me, they knew that I was married and everything, and they asked how long I had been married, and I told them I was getting ready to come up on a wedding anniversary here next month. And they asked me, is marriage like dating, or is marriage like having a boyfriend and a girlfriend type thing? And I told them no. I was just honest with them. No, it's not. And they asked me, well, how is it not? I said, because when you get married, and this all falls into true love and unconditional love of God, when you get married, you are doing two things. You are taking vows between you and that young lady, or that young lady and that man. And you are using, and you are saying those vows to each other, and you are saying those vows unto the Lord. And the Bible says that how can two walk together except they agree? Amen. Now I know that preachers use this scripture on behalf of marriage, and it is true. But this can be used as friendships. This scripture can be used for friendships. This can be used for family. Amen. How can two walk together except they agree? You got to be on the same wavelength. You got to be on, and this definitely goes well with marriage between a man and a woman. They can't walk together except they agree, and they may not agree on everything, but it's a communication type thing. Amen. It's a communication type thing. If you can't communicate and you can't trust the person that you're with, you don't need to be married. Amen. You can't communicate. And if you can't communicate, if you can't pray together, if you can't come together unto the Lord together, something wrong. If you are with somebody that you can't stand, that you don't even want to pray for, and vice versa, then you don't need to do that. Don't get in that marriage. Don't even think about marriage. Amen. And I begin to tell this individual, no, marriage is way different than dating, because you can walk away from a relationship. If that man or that woman gets tired, you could be bogged down with stuff, with problems and issues. And if that man or that woman chooses to walk away from you, that's it. I mean, y'all not married. But if you're married, you might have a time where that husband or that wife is given 20%, and that husband or that wife is given the rest because they're bogged down with something. And I'll give you an example. And I'm not going to, put all my business out there, but what I'm saying is, and I'm using this as an example, my wife was going through something with one of our family members. Amen. On her side of the family. And she didn't give. She was worried about that, problem. And I had to comfort her as well as comfort the children, as well as be there for my own sanity. She was more worried about that situation. And I understood that. So I had to, where she was given 20 or 30%, I had to give the rest. I had to be there for her. I had to be there for that individual. I had to be there for the children. I had to be there for my children. So I had to give them a little bit more. And that's true love. That's unconditional love. That's what we're talking about today. When you have to love somebody past the pain, when you love somebody through what they're going through. And this is Eros love. This is the love between a man and a woman. Amen. This is the love that we're talking about, with the love between a man and a woman. And I want to look at this because I want to get into some scriptures. In Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 21 through 25. Amen. I want to go here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 25. And then we're going to read verse after 25, we're going to read verse 28. Amen. And it reads, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm going to drop down to verse number 28. So though men to love their own wives as their own body, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now watch this. There are some men in the church and out of the church that say that the wife is supposed to be subject to the man. I get it. The husband is the head of the home. The husband is the head of the wife. It says it in the Bible. I get it. I understand that. But the Bible also says as we read in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What does that mean? Submitting yourself one to another. It's not just for the woman to submit herself to the husband. Now, the husband does make the final decision in the house, but as a husband, you have to give something to that wife to submit to, and vice versa. That wife has to give something to for the man to submit to. It's not always the woman submitting. Sometimes it is the man submitting. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to use this as an example. Some of us men, we can be bullheaded. We can be bullheaded and think we got it. You know, I got it, baby. I got it. But there are some times where our wives tell us what we need to hear. And us as men, we think, okay, it's not good. I don't have to listen to that. That's just my wife. No. I'll give you an example. My dad, and I gave this example on last week. My father was having some chest pain one time. And my mother was looking at him and was like, wait a minute, we're going to the hospital. At first he said, no, I want to, you know, do what I'm doing. You know, I'll be all right. And she was bullheaded enough. My mother was bullheaded enough. She was bold enough to tell him, no, we're going to the hospital. And my dad submitted himself unto his wife. That's what I mean. And had he not, when he got there to the hospital, he was told, if you had not listened to your wife, you would have gone into a heart attack. You were on your way to having a heart attack. That's what I mean by submitting yourself one to another. Amen. Listening to each other. This is true love. That was an act of true love by my mother to my father. She knew something was wrong. Hey, look, I don't care what you're doing. We're dropping everything, and I'm taking you to the hospital. Why? Because I love you. Why? Because I want to make sure you're all right. Why? Because I want to make sure
that this ain't the last time that we going to spend with each other. I'm going to do all I can to keep you alive. There may not be anything wrong, but we're going to make sure it's nothing wrong today. My mother was bullheaded. And when I mean bullheaded, she was strong in what she believed in. She was strong in telling her husband, hey, let's go to the hospital. I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm not taking no for an answer. You going regardless. You're going to get in this car today because I'm not getting ready to lose you. And it's the same thing with that love should be there. Amen. That's what I mean by submitting yourself one to another. Now, watch this. When we talk about Eros love between a husband and a wife, I've had times where I didn't want to listen to my wife. And there were times where I didn't listen, and it was like, okay, I should have listened. And there were times where I listened to my wife, and I was glad I did. I was glad I did. She was like, babe, let's take care of this first, or let's get this done first, and then we can do that. Let's put this over here so that this can get done, so we ain't got to worry about that later. And then there's times where I have done the same exact thing with my wife. I said, babe, let's do this. And I got her. When you submit yourself one to another, it's not being a tyrant. It's not being a tyrant. It's getting each other's opinion on things. Okay, should we do this? Should we do that? It's communication. Communicating with one another. Loving one another in that decision. Compromising with one another. Okay, we're not doing this. We're going to do this later. Or we'll do this the next time. Something, and I'm just using this as an example. Something fun. I know, like I said, I got a wedding anniversary coming up. There might be something that during our wedding anniversary that she might want to do, and there might be something I want to do that's different that she may not like. There might be something that I may not like that she wants to do. Okay, baby, we gonna do what you want to do tonight or today, and then the next day we'll do what I want to do. My part of our anniversary, and we do that. We do that. We go here, we go there, we celebrate. Amen. Communication is compromising. As long as you're not compromising, the only thing you don't have to compromise in a relationship or a friendship or in a family is your salvation, is your relationship with God. That's the only thing that you do not compromise with. If your husband or your wife telling you, this is this way, and I believe it this way, and it ain't Bible, then that's the only thing you don't need to compromise with. And don't be a tyrant neither when you say you don't compromise with it. You ain't got to beat them across the head. Don't beat them across the head with the Bible. Love them unconditionally still. All right, baby, if you don't believe that, that's all right. I'm going to go on. Amen. Now, I want you to see this. Like I said earlier, we have to give something for them to submit to as husband and as the wife. Watch this. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Amen. And I want you to see this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, read. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it reads, but if any provide not for his own and especially for those of his own house. He has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What this means is, husbands, out of love for your wife and your family, you will be the provider of that home. And it's not just talking about money, that you will provide the support, that you will provide the protection, that you will provide the financial means. And we know that we live in a society where both of the husband and the wife work and both bring home the paycheck. Or it might be old school where the husband just brings home the paycheck, whatever it might be. Amen. But he that does not provide for his own, especially for his own house, has denied the faith and is worse than infidel. If you are not providing, giving that wife something to submit to, then it profits you nothing. Amen. And this is out of love. I'm saying this out of love. If you unconditionally love your wife, and if you unconditionally love your family as God's unconditional love, you will provide for your family. You will provide that support. You will provide those financial means. You will get yourself a job and work. The Bible says a man that don't work don't eat. Amen. This is what it is. And we teach in life today in this lesson. Amen. We're teaching life. Because I'm a life teacher and a life preacher. We teach in life today. But on the flip side of that, it's also good for the woman to bring something to the table. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs 31. Let's look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. And I'm not going to read all of it, but Proverbs 31, if we can look at that real quick, it talks about who can find a virtuous woman. It talks about a virtuous woman, but her price is far above rubies. This is what the wife is supposed to provide. Amen. She's supposed to bring something to the table too. And look, let me tell y'all something. Let me help you out. Let me help y'all. The woman, it ain't all about can you bring a sound mind? It ain't just about the curves. It ain't just about the sex and all that. It ain't just about that in a marriage. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above what? Rubies. Why is it above rubies? Because she is, and the saying is, to every great man is a great woman. Amen. She is that great woman for that great man. She is the provide. She provides for her house. She nurtures that house. She is the nurturer of that house. She makes sure everything stays together. Amen. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with a woman working. I have a hard working wife. In my own right, I have a hard working wife. You might say, well, Minister Adam, do you work? Yes, I work. I go to work. But guess what? I submit. Well, if she submits, what do you mean by you submitting? I do the dishes. I can help clean the house, because there's some male chauvinistic men out there that think, hey, I ain't got to clean the house. I ain't got to do that's a woman's job. No, it's not a woman's job when you're in a marriage. It's both of y'all's job. It's both of y'all's jobs to do the laundry. It's both of y'all's jobs to cook. I mean, if you don't know how to cook, watch your wife. If one of y'all don't know how to cook, if the wife knows how to cook and the man don't know how to cook, men, stand there and watch your wife cook. Learn. Let her teach you something. Or vice versa. If the man know how to cook and the woman don't know how to cook, stand there and watch that man teach you how to cook. Teach that woman how to cook. Let her learn something from you. Let him learn something from you. Amen? So he won't be, so when he by himself or when she by herself, while you at work or something or what, doing whatever you doing, they ain't got to worry about putting Hot Pockets in the microwave, TV dinners in the microwave for the kids while you doing whatever. They waiting on you to come home to cook. But learn. That's submitting. Submitting yourself. Learning from your spouse. I learned from there's some things that I did not know how to do being single that I've learned how to do being married, that my wife has taught me. There are some things, and there's some things that I've taught her. There's something, and you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You'd be like, wait a minute. You taught your wife how to do some? Yes. My wife, and me, I came from an era of writing, like, I use this as an example. I come from a family where they used to write down their bills, you know, letting them know where their money's going. Me personally, I don't like math. And this is just a little side note. I don't like math. I don't like doing math. I've never liked math. I know math is important, but I didn't like it. So I use my mom and dad's method. I write down all my bills. When I was single, I used to write down all my bills every month. Every time I owed something, I wrote it down just to see where my money was going. Because I didn't like math. I ain't like doing all that adding and subtracting, all that stuff. I like to see where my money is going. My wife, on the other hand, she can do math in her head. I can't do that. I can learn. I can learn. But it's just something about me. Nope. She can do math in her head. She can add up the money in her head. But there are some times where I've sat down and talked to my wife, and I've told her there's some time where you need to do, where you need to write down and see where your money is going. And there's some time where you just need to add it up in your head. She taught me how to add up stuff in my head. Add up work hours and all of this stuff in my head. She taught me how to do that. Not saying I didn't know, but she taught me how to do it in a more, you know, subtle way where I won't get frustrated with myself. And I taught her to write down your stuff so you'll see where it's going. And we use these methods all the time. That's submitting yourself. Amen. But in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12. And I'm just going to read this because we got to move on. But who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safe trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, watch this. Verse in verse 23. I want to read verse 23. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. What does this mean? She makes him better. Amen. She makes him better. And this is why, husband, this is why you need to go to your wife to get her opinion on stuff. Why? Because verse 26 says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. There are times where I've talked to like bill collectors and stuff, and they were frustrating me. And my wife be like, you know what? Either let me talk or hang up the phone. Because they was frustrating me, and they was literally trying to frustrate me. Like, I felt them literally trying to frustrate me, and I was getting frustrated. She said, you either let me talk to them or get off the phone, because you're getting frustrated. You're getting mad. Don't do that. Either let me talk to them or get off. And there was some times where I would let her talk to them or I would just hang up. She'd be like, either hang up and call another day when you calm down, or let me talk to him. That's why it's good for you to communicate. And vice versa with your husband. Amen? Let's move on to Philae love. Philae love is a friendly love. This is a love between friends. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Since we're already in the book of Proverbs, amen. Proverbs chapter 18. Let's see. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. This is the love of God right here. The way you obtain friends is that you have to show yourself friendly. Amen. Jesus had friends. Jesus cared about people. I have a best friend right now that I've known since my sophomore year of high school. And my wife knows of them. We've been that's my best friend. And I can go to them about anything. Do I go to them about everything? No, I don't. But as that being my best friend, a true friend will love you unconditionally. A true friend will tell you when you know you need to be told, will tell you when you're wrong, and will tell you when you're right. That's the love of God, because Jesus will tell you when you're wrong, and Jesus will tell you when you're right. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. Amen. Now, watch this. This is where the love of God comes in at. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 reads, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. This is showing us that a friend loveth at all times, that unconditional love, that true love. A friend loveth at all times. That's why I don't call everybody my friend. You might be an associate, but no, I don't call everybody my friend. Jesus called us friends. That's why he made a way of escape for our sins. Amen. This is the true friendship, is that when a friend can love you even though you're not so lovable. Now, watch this. If you are a friend that's somebody that's you're never there for an individual, you're not a true friend. I can say that my best friend always been there for me. I've only had three best friends my whole life. Well, four. I'll say four. Four best friends. I can count on one hand how many best friends I've had. I have. Because one of them is deceased. And the other one became my sister-in-law. Amen. So my two best friends that I have, and one is a male and one is a female. Now, my female best friend, my wife knows her. Like I said, we've been best friends since high school. And when I got married, before I got married, my father counseled me and my wife and was like, if you have any friends that are the opposite sex, let your spouse know. Let your spouse know. Let them meet them. Let them talk to them. And if you can't talk to that friend in front of your spouse, then there's something wrong. I can talk to my best friend in front of my spouse. My spouse can talk to my best friend if she want to. My best friend can talk to my spouse. Amen. And I'm talking about if you have a best friend that's the opposite sex, let them talk to your spouse. If you cannot talk to your best friend that's the opposite sex, that is of the opposite sex, in front of your spouse, there is something wrong. There is something wrong. You can't talk to your friends that are of the opposite sex in front of your spouse. Something wrong. All of my other friends that I've had down through the years that are of the opposite sex, do I talk to them all the time? No, I do not. Why? Because I have a wife. No, I don't. Do I see them around the way? Do I talk to them around the way? Yeah, I'll, you know, say hi or whatever. But as far as me talking to them almost every day, no. I don't do that. My best friend, me personally, yeah. Almost talk to her, not every day, but I'll call her every now and then and be like, hey, you all right? You good? You straight? Because she's like a sister to me. And my wife knows that. Amen. I love my best friend like she is my sister. And that's the way we should love. A friend loveth at all times. And it ain't a romantic type of love. It's a friendly type of love. That's my best. That's my friend. Amen. And that's it. Amen. So let's look at, let's go into storge love. This is a family type of love. Amen. Let's look at, and we're still in the book of Proverbs. This is a family type of love, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but these scriptures, I'm going to give you these scriptures, and I want you to go back and read these scriptures. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, 20 and 21. Psalms 127, verse number 3. Proverbs 23, verses 12 through 14. This is a family type of love. Storge love is a family love. It is a love between parent and children. And these scriptures can teach you how to love your children. It will also teach you how to raise your children. I love my children. I love all three of my boys. The one thing that I would do now, there's one thing I would not do for my children. But there's two things. I'm not going to tell them that they're right when they're wrong. And I would not give up my salvation for them. That's the only two things. That's the only two things I won't do for my children or my wife. Amen. And that's unconditional love. Now, it's a hard love to do. It's a hard love to show. What I mean by that, it's a hard love to show. My children may not see it as love, but it's a tough love. It's a hard love. Amen. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to read Proverbs chapter. I'm going to read a couple of these scriptures. And I'm going to just show you in Proverbs chapter 22. And if you're a Bible scholar, you already know where I'm going with this. Proverbs chapter 22, and this shows us what to do with our children, how to raise our children. Amen. It says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. What we put down in our children. What are we putting down in our children? What are we putting down in them? We have to put love. That's why I said earlier, what is that man giving that? What is that? What are you providing for your family? What is that woman providing for her family? What are you teaching your children? Are you putting the word of God down into them? Because when they get out there, when they get older, they're going to have devils to fight. And even when they're children, they're going to have devils to fight. They're going to have battles. I say this all the time. My son David, and I say this testimony a lot. One time, he was at school and he was dealing with a student. I tell my children, when you come into conflict with somebody, try to walk away. Try to walk away from conflict. Don't start the conflict, but if conflict is in your presence, try to walk away from the conflict. But if you have to, physically fight, I try to teach my children, don't physically fight anybody unless you really, really have to. And then go, if you're at school, go tell a teacher. If they got you backed into a corner, whatever. Fight your way out and then go tell a teacher. I try to give them the best advice that I can. Amen. Is that when we were talking about providing, he that provided for his house. Amen. I try to be up there. I try to be at my children's school. I try to be at my children's performances. Try to be at my children's. My oldest son and my youngest son, my two youngest, when they started school, I was right there for the first day. Every year that they start school, I'm there. Why? Because I want to be that support system. Throughout the school year, I try to be up there. And one of the things as a father, because you in today's society, a lot of mothers go up there to the school. They doing a lot. And kudos to the mothers that are doing that. Kudos to the mothers that are doing that. My hat's off to you, because it's a hard job raising children, especially if you got more than one and two. It's a hard job. Amen. It's a very hard job raising children. And kudos off to those parents. Amen. But it's very, very seldom do you see the fathers going up there. You might see some, but you don't see many. And I remember we just celebrated Christmas. But my son David had his first Christmas program. My oldest son had a Christmas orchestra concert. I was right there to show support. Why? Because he needed that. They both needed that. When my youngest son graduated from preschool, I was there. Why? To give that support to him, because he needed that. Yeah, their mama was there, but I wanted them to see their father there, to be there. And I tell my children, I try to encourage my children. I try to, you know, tell my children, hey, you know, as a parent and as a father, I try to tell them, hey, this is what you're going to have to deal with. And I tell my oldest son, because my oldest son is in middle school, and before he got into middle school, I told him, I said, you're leaving elementary school. You were in the cradling stage of your life. Now you're getting ready to go into a stage of your life where you're not going to be so cradled in school. I'm talking about school now, where you're going to have you're going to have to do some things on your own. This is not elementary school. And I told him this, and I said, this right here is a time in your life where you have to, where you're going to have to grow up. You getting ready to be almost in the teenage bracket now. So there's going to be more responsibility. There's going to be more things asked of you. Trying to get him prepared for what life has to bring him. My children, I sometimes I go and I learned this from my mother. It is always good to pray for your children. And as fathers, some of us, you know, we let the mothers do everything. We let the mothers, you know, cradle the children and, you know, dress the children and stuff. Look, husbands, and I'm very keyed on this. Husbands, if you are in the home, or fathers, even if you're not in the home, learn how to take that bless oil and anoint your children and pray over your children. And if you marry, pray over your wife. Amen. Take that bless oil and you anoint your wife. Anoint your family before you leave the house, because you don't know what dangers that they might encounter. If your wife works, anoint her too. If she's a stay-at-home mom, still anoint her. Sometimes get up in the middle of the night and pray for your children. Pray for your wife. Amen. It shouldn't just take the Lord to shake you and you tossing and turning for you to get up and pray. There are times in the midnight hour where my wife and my children don't even know I'm praying for them. While I take my blessed oil and I anoint them while they're sleeping. Why? Because I don't know the dangers that they're going to face. There's a bunch. We send our, and this is just an example, we send our children to school. Nowadays, we don't even know if they're going to come home from school because of so much stuff going on in the world. The devil is trying to consume our young people. We see it all the time. We see shootings in these schools. We see teachers, and there's nothing wrong with that. Look, I'm not talking bad about the teachers because I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher at a school myself. But we don't know what these what our children are encountering when they're in the classroom. We don't know what type of spirits that they're dealing with. That's why it's sound doctrine to put the word of God down inside of them, to teach them how to pray, to teach them how to plead the blood of Jesus, to have family prayer, to have that. Come on, pray with me. Come on, read the Bible with me. Teach them a Bible verse. There are times where, because we have at my church, sometimes we have Bible class, and I let my and if my children are sitting in, my youngest sits in with me sometimes when he's not in there, playing on his video game or whatever. He'll come in here, and I'll let him sit there and listen to the word. Sometimes I'll watch old sermons from preachers that I know that are sound doctrine. And sometimes I'll be sitting there watching them, just be laying in bed just watching them. And sometimes my children will come in and be like, is that Pastor so-and-so, is that granddaddy? Yeah. And they'll sit down and watch it. And I'll let them sit down and watch it. There was one time where we were watching a movie, everybody knows, The Passion of the Christ. I let them sit down and watch it, even though that movie is the closest prediction to, I believe, is the closest prediction to Jesus' crucifixion than any other movie that's been predicted as the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's about the closest prediction that visually we know of. Amen. And I let them sit down and watch it. And while I'm sitting down there letting them watch it, I explain it to them. I explain why he went through it, because I'm providing that into them. Amen. Sometimes they'll listen to the the podcast, and they'll listen to the radio, listening to me do the radio shows and stuff, and they'll ask questions sometimes, and I'll answer them. Sometimes my children have questions sometimes, and I'll try to answer them the best way I can. Amen. When my son David wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name, and this is another thing too, parents, do not tell your children. If they want to get closer to God, Don't you hinder them from getting closer to God. Don't you hinder them. Because you might be saving their life. I ain't going to say you might be. You would be saving their life. You would be saving their life. I remember I was, when we were in a church service, and this is, I believe this was during COVID, they were having out, parking lot services in their cars, from the cars. And my church was fellowshipping with another church, and they were having a parking lot service. And I believe it was at the end of 2020, the beginning of 2021, I think somewhere around there, around the summertime, I think somewhere in there, I think. And they were having something after service out on the parking lot. They were having like a little carnival type thing. And the first lady of that church said, "Bring your family back." And I'm like, I don't know. We're a little bit tired and everything. And she said, "No, bring your family back to this thing, because it's going to be for young people. The kids can play and, run around and get their energy out. But bring them back." And I said, yes, ma'am. I told that first lady, I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I, conversed with my pastor and asked him, and he gave me the okay to, go back to that function that they were having. And I'm glad I did, because that day, my son David got baptized in Jesus' name, and he went down in Jesus' name. And I had the privilege of baptizing my son. Because usually I would have let my father, had my father been there, he would have baptized him. But my son started asking questions because he was hearing the person give an altar call while they were playing. And he heard the altar call, and he said, "I want to be baptized." Well, I was with my oldest son going around, and they were sitting down eating. My wife and my son David, they were sitting down eating at a table, and my son just said, "I want to be baptized." He told my wife he wanted to be baptized. And when I came back over there to the table to check on him, she said, "Well, he wants to be baptized." And I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah." And I explained to him the steps of salvation, and asked him, after I explained it to him, I asked him, "Do you still want to be baptized, and do you know why you want to be baptized?" And he said, he told me why and everything. And I was able to baptize him in Jesus' name. And I thank God for that. I thank God. Amen. So these are the things that family love does. This is the unconditional love of God. Now, let's go to the last one, agape love, because we're running out of time, but I want to get to this. Agape love, and this is a godly love, and this is unconditional love. This is the love between God and man. And I'm going to turn to this scripture. And I'm going to give you the other scriptures, but I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Amen. And it reads,
But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is the love of God being shown. This is the unconditional love of God. And this backs up every other form of love that we have talked about today. The true test of true love is not just shown to when your wife is not so lovable, or when your husband is not so lovable, or when your children are not so lovable. That is a test of true love. But the true test of true love is when you can love your enemy, when you can love the people that despitefully use you, you can love the ones that curse you. Can you love that individual that cuts you off on the highway? Amen. This is the unconditional love of God. This is the true love of God. This is why we said at the beginning of the show, you cannot love people without having the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You can't love people unconditionally, the right way, out having his Spirit on the inside of you. Because God will teach you how to love. Amen. God will teach you how to love.
Amen.
In these last few minutes that I have, I want to say this. Out of all of the four types of love that we have talked about, agape love is the one love that we must show everybody, husband, wife, children, your friends, your enemies. We must show this love to the world. This is true love. This is the unconditional love of God. This is what it is. And amen. I heard Bishop Carver in there. Amen. I thank God for my Spirit Alive family being on in Jesus' name. Amen. In these last few minutes, I want to, before we go, I want to give 1 to 2 minutes to let my Spirit Alive family give a comment or anything that they might want to say at this time in Jesus' name. Anybody, not just the Spirit Alive family, but anybody that's listening in, you can comment in Jesus' name at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Minister Tuggle. I really was just enjoying your teaching, and I think you did an awesome job. The only thing that came to my mind, which was an interesting thought, was when you were talking about how we were friends with Jesus Christ. And it made me think of that verse where he says, you're my friends if you do what I say.
Right.
And that is such, you know, when we get down to brass tacks, love is what you do. And so many people are busy talking. But when we say that we love Jesus and we say we're friends with Jesus, and Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I say. So I just want to thank you for this awesome teaching and remind everyone that if you want to show your love for Jesus Christ, do what he said.
Amen. Amen. And it brings me back to what my uncle used to say. You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Amen. We have to learn to walk the walk of love towards everybody. We, as being Christians, as being a so-called Christian, Christian is being Christ-like. And I'm going to leave you with this. Christian is being Christ-like. Everybody says it's a Christian.
But the true test of a true Christian or believer is showing the love of God at all times. As we read, the Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. He is that friend to us. Amen. And he has shown his love down Amen. Through the generations. He showed so much love that he stepped out of 42 generations just to come unto the face of the earth to show his love in action. We read John 3:16. We all know what it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He stepped out of 42 generations. He stepped from the throne, wrapped himself in flesh, put that flesh in the womb of a virgin, born. And his sole purpose was to be born and to die for your sins and mine. This was the true meaning of Christmas and Easter. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the true meaning of it. And this is the true meaning of the unconditional love of God. On today, in the last show of the year, I give you this. I don't have much. I don't have millions upon millions of dollars. But on this last day of the year, I give you Jesus. The Bible says, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto thee. And today, I give you Jesus. On December 31st of 2022, what would it be for you to give your life over to God on this last day of the year and go into 2023 knowing Jesus? The Bible says in Acts 2 and 38, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see God in peace. This is the only way to have your sins washed away. Yes, I know that people say, well, you can just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Yes, I know the Bible says that. But there's more to it than just that. You got to show some action. And the action is being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, as they did on the day of Pentecost. God does not change, and neither should we. Amen. The only change that we should make is that we move from that old man to the new man, which is that believing and that godly man or woman, moving out of our flesh into, moving out of darkness into the marvelous light on today. God bless you. I love you, each and every one of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful New Year's Eve tonight. Be safe.